Amen. Would you all stand with me this morning as we read one more time from the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 67 through 69. May these words ring true. May they sing within your innermost being. As we've been studying these for the last weeks, John chapter 6 says, "So Jesus said to the 12, 'You do not want to go away also, do you?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed. We have believed, and we have come to know. We have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. We again have left our homes to come to this house, to this place of gathering, to this tent of meeting, to meet with God, to meet with each other. Lord, we come seeking truth. We come as people on a journey of trying to understand God and understand who we are in the eyes of our Creator. We thank you, God, for your presence this morning. We thank you, God, that you are with us this day. And Lord, as we gather in this place, we pray that you would touch our eyes that we might see, and that you would touch our ears that we might hear. From the Spirit of God, our risen Savior, we pray this for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. And y'all may be seated. It's really good to see you this morning. Hey, it was a great... We as a church have just been kind of riding in the afterglow or the high of last Sunday. We had an amazing Easter Sunday service, and we just kept reflecting back and hearing what was going on within the youth and the children and within our church, just meeting people, and the baptisms were so awesome, and we just had such a good time. So praise the Lord, and today we're going to be ending our series called How Do You Know? Now, I'm an 80s guy. I went to high school, graduated 1984. I've been trying to persuade my three sons that the best music was in the 80s, okay? Now, for me, in my opinion, there is no bigger band in the 80s than the band U2. U2 is an Irish rock band from Dublin. They have released 13 studio albums, and they've sold more than 170 million records worldwide. 170 million records worldwide. They're one of the world's best-selling musical artists of all time. They've won 22 Grammys, which is more than any other band, okay? Any U2 fans in here? Has anyone ever seen a U2 concert? Heard they're amazing. You guys have seen U2 concerts. U2 is just, Sunday Bloody Sunday was one of the first ones I was hearing. Or In the Name of Love, which I found out later, they were singing about Jesus. As a youth pastor, when I first came to Woodbridge in 1992 as a youth pastor, one of the songs we sang with our youth group was 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined and heard my cry. You know the song? He lift me up out of the pit, out of the miry clay, right? I will sing. It's called 40. It's Psalm 40. The band made a psalm from the Bible, famous Psalm 40. U2, interesting band. Bono's an interesting individual. The lead singer, Bono, real interesting guy. When you study his life, he was raised, can you imagine being raised in Dublin? His dad was a Catholic, his mom was a Protestant, and so the rule was, well, the first kid we have can be Protestant, and the second kid we have will be Catholic. And Bono is he has an older brother, so he was supposed to be raised Catholic, but then he just kind of went off on his own. Interesting, his mother, at her dad's memorial service, died of a brain aneurysm during the service. Can you imagine that? And he saw that. He struggles with glaucoma. That's why he's always wearing sunglasses. An interesting man, and humanitarian. When you hear about Bono, he's done a lot of work in Africa. He's done a lot of work with the AIDS in Africa, with feeding, with the feeding crisis that goes on in Africa and Ethiopia. Real interesting guy. He beat the odds as a rock star. Do you know what I mean by that? Have you noticed that a lot of rock stars can get pretty messed up? Multiple relationships, in and out of drug rehab, alcohol rehab. And Bono is married to the same lady, for his one and only wife. Right now, they have four kids. He hasn't been out of drug rehab. He just seemed to beat the odds and to keep his feet on the ground. And if you were to ask him why, he would tell you, Jesus. Jesus. How do you know? What do you believe, and how do you know what you believe is true? Isn't that a great question? The Lord Jesus Christ, when you study the life of Jesus, Jesus went just an amazing 3-year ministry of this carpenter from Nazareth that has radically rocked and changed the world. At one point in Jesus' ministry, he had fed 5,000 people the day before. He's in the city of Capernaum, and he starts teaching some really hard things about, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no place in me. And he says, I'm the bread of life. I mean, and these guys are struggling. What do you mean? Talking about cannibal? We're out. And huge crowds leave Jesus because of his heavy teaching. And he says to them, my words I'm saying to you are spiritual, not literal, but they're out. Jesus turns to the 12. He turns to Peter and he says, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter said these words, where would we go? Only you have words of eternal life. And then Peter says something so interesting. He says, we believe and we have come to know that you are God, that you are the Holy One. I've been mesmerized by this declaration that Peter gave. We cognitively believe. Only you have words. So he's talking about this word. We believe. But then he says, and we've experienced you, Jesus. We know. I believe for every human being that has come on a journey with Jesus, there's a place where we all have to kind of come alongside Peter and the 12. When you meet any person that's on a spiritual journey or a person that finally goes in the waters of baptism, there's a time in their life when they believe in Jesus cognitively, but then they've experienced, I just know that it's true. I've experienced, I know. How do you know? That was the name of our series. And we thought, man, wouldn't that be a cool series to just kind of kick off at Woodbridge? Wouldn't it be fun heading into Easter to do a series called How Do You Know? And so we started off with How Do You Know What You Believe Is True on March 12th. Then we did How Do You Know That God Even Exists? How do you know that Christianity is true? How do you know that the Bible is true, part one? How do you know the Bible is true, part two? Last week we talked about how do you know the resurrection really happened? And we thought, man, we got to have one more Sunday where we just kind of change it and say it's not how do you know, but we know. We just know. There are millions and millions of people who could stand with the Apostle Peter and the 12, and say, we believe, we know. Bono just did that, didn't he? Did Bono give a cognitive argument to his faith? Absolutely. Well, what do you believe? I believe he's the Messiah, Son of God. He's either, if he's a nutter, do you believe in the resurrection? I believe he came up out of the grave. He theologically believes. But did you notice he says, I have no problem with miracles. I've seen miracles. I am a miracle. He knows. He believes. He knows. I would love to sit with the Apostle Peter and go, Peter, you say that you believe, that you know. How do you know? And what would Peter say? Peter could say, I watched Jesus heal my mother-in-law. I watched Jesus walk on water. I walked on water. Peter could give explanations of, I know. I just know. And they're Peters. For every human being, there's an intellectual and experiential journey of coming to a place of where Peter did, of saying, I believe and I know that he's the Holy One of God. There are many of you in here today that could say, I believe and I know. I stand with Peter. There are many of you watching online that could say, yep, I stand with the Apostle Peter. I believe. I know. What do you believe? How do you know? It's unique for every individual. The reasons why Bono believed as a rock star, he knows differently than Peter does. They believe the same things, but they know differently. Do you understand where I'm going with today? They've experienced Christ differently. Bono hasn't walked on water. I haven't walked on water. Peter did. But Bono, in his own journey, could say, I know, I believe. And there are many people that can stand with us. And we thought, it would be so cool to do a service and just say, this is a service called I Know. People, I know. I know. If people were to come up to me and ask me, what do I believe? I'll tell them what I believe. If someone was to ask me, how do you know? I would tell them many things of how I know. I had an experience up on a rock at Forest Home in September of 1985 that I still can close my eyes and be enamored with, because it was the most amazing moment where I remember I prayed, Jesus, I think you're real, and Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I was 20 years old, and I had gone through a real time of searching, reading the scriptures, crying out, empty, lonely, shameful, guiltful, afraid of death. I sometimes when I'm worshiping, I just picture myself on that rock, because that was so personable to me. People, I've seen prayers been answered. I've traveled to other worlds. I've been to the Dominican. I've seen demonic things. Anyone seen demonic stuff that puts the back of my head up, the hairs in the back of my head? I've just seen stuff in the name of Jesus that's right out of the Bible that just scared the stink out of me. I've seen this, right? How do I know? You know, I know. I know. When my stepmom Joyce was passing away, I've told this story. 6 days before her death, she calls me on the phone and she says, Frankie, she goes, I just had the most amazing experience. I said, well, what was it, Mom? She says, I was sitting in my reclining chair and I felt somebody hug me. She says, I woke up and I thought it was your dad that hugged me, and I called out for him. He's in the garage. There's no one else in the house. She says, it was the most tender hug I've ever had in my entire life. She goes, do you think it was an angel? So she's calling. I think it's so beautiful. She's calling her son, the pastor, right, trying to help her explain an experience that she just had. And I remember telling my mom, I said, hey, Joyce, I go, I don't know, but you'll be meeting the author of that heavenly hug soon. And she said, well, I look forward to that. I just know. Well, don't you think that's so cool that God, in the busyness of being the Almighty, could take time to go give somebody a hug 6 days before her death? How do you explain that? It's personal to our family. You guys, you know that Cinda's dad just passed away just within the last month. And I shared with you about this. You know, he was the oldest living heart transplant in America, 24 and a half years. He was dying. And it's pretty crazy when the doctors come in and say, we need to talk with you, and they list all these things. His kidneys are failing. His left lung is collapsed. He's got pneumonia. He's got two types of bacteria in his lungs. He's got this and this, and they're like, he's leaving, okay? And yet he's in the room next door completely cognitive. He could tell you Bayreuth's batting average. Or, I mean, he's just sharper than a tack. And we're like, we need to go tell him. So the doc goes in and tells Dennis, my father-in-law, hey, Dennis, today is... You're going to pass away today, pretty much. And how long do I have? Well, you know. And at that time, my sons were all in there, and they said goodbye to their grandpa. Grandpa, we love you. We're so proud of you. And he's telling them how much he loved them. He's proud of them. It was so cool. And he said these words. He said, the Lord has been comforting me. And he says, I love the Lord. Okay? which was so cool. And we were just talking about this as a family. I wish we could have pressed in. How has he been comforting you? Has God given you a vision? Has he visited you? Has he hugged you? I mean, how has the Lord been comforting you? We didn't go there, but I want to share with you something that happened at the moment. So as Dennis was passing away, he was like, my right arm's sore, and we'd lift up his right arm, we'd put a pillow under his right arm, and he'd set his right arm down. And then his left arm, oh my, and then his neck, and we're like, and we'd touch him, he'd go, ow, 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 and he's barely moving, he's in a lot of pain. At the moment that he passes away, he sits up in his bed, raises both of his hands towards the ceiling in a very fluid motion, and he disappears. And we as a family have been trying to figure out what that was. We're in discussion about this. I think it's Acts 7. When Stephen was dying, he had a vision. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand, and he just said, behold, I mean, Pastor Graham and Pastor Vincent and I have been talking about, there have been times as we've seen people pass away and they've done the same thing. One person said, he comes. Another lady, Janet, says, isn't he beautiful, as they're passing away. It's our story. We're trying to figure it out. If you were to ask me, what do you believe? I'll tell you what I believe. If you were to ask me, how do you know what you believe is true? I'll tell you what I've experienced Jesus. In my own personal way, I know. I stand with the Apostle Peter, I stand with the 12, with the statement that they give, we believe and we know that you're the Holy One of God. Do you? What's your story? How do you know? There are so many stories in our congregation. As we were coming to the end of this series, there's a very special lady in our church named Jan Santos. And Jan has a unique testimony that's just hers. And I remember calling up Jan. I said, Jan, we want to end this series calling it I Just Know. And would you be willing to come into the studio and share your testimony? She says, Pastor Frank, I'll do anything for you. So we went in the studio, and we've got like, we took 12 minutes of her just telling her story, and we brought it down to, I think, 7. We actually have the whole story. You guys can see it, but Here's a testimonial that I think is pretty unique only to Jan of anyone in this room. Check this out.
Hi, my name is Jan Santos, and Pastor Frank at the Woodbridge Community Church is speaking on a series titled, How Do You Know? And I'm here to let you know how I know. My family, when I was a kid, practiced Jewish traditions, so I grew up a Jew. But when I was about 11 years old, my mom unfortunately passed away, and I became really angry with God. I thought he had failed me, and so I lost my faith. I didn't have any faith at all. I became a pretty devout atheist, actually, and I was that way for my entire life, really, into my 50s. In 2008, I had a pretty serious health crisis. I was hospitalized 5 times in 5 months. I had to go through physical rehabilitation twice to relearn to walk, to talk, to even think. And it was a very long physical journey. And ultimately, my heart and my immune system collapsed, and I flatlined. So I died on the table. And what I remembered eventually was that I was surrounded in total darkness. It was just this unbelievable darkness that you can't even imagine. It was like the blackest black darkness you can imagine. I saw nothing. I felt nothing. I wasn't in pain. I wasn't happy. I wasn't sad. I was just there. It was just this unbelievable void. It was a darkness that was palpable. I could feel it. I was there. I didn't have any experience that there were walls or I was in a corner, I was sitting or anything. I was just there, but I could feel the darkness. It was very heavy, very heavy. I didn't want to die, but I knew I was going to die. But at that moment, there was a force that was so strong and so powerful, but so gentle and so serene that physically, as far as I'm concerned, grabbed me here on my left shoulder and swished me out of the darkness. I mean, literally, it's like if you can imagine being in a swimming pool in the deep end and you're sinking, you're drowning, and somebody just reaches in and whoops you out. That's what I felt. Strong enough to do that, but it didn't hurt. It felt so calming. Where I got pulled into was just this unbelievable light. Beautiful, calming, beautiful, beautiful light. And I've come to realize that I was touched by the hand of God. I really believe it was the hand of God that grabbed me from the gates of hell. That darkness was hell. And took me back into this light and life. So God really touched me. It was more joyful than having your child or being in love or anything like that. You know, I've never since then, this was 2008, this is now 2017, I've never experienced that depth of joy. And the closest at this point is when I'm in my relationship with God, but it's still, it was a wonderful, wonderful experience. And eventually I finally shared it with my sister-in-law, Mae Santos. She started coming to visit me and my brother-in-law, Ray Santos, too, and they read scripture to me. Ray took me home from the rehab center and really started sharing scripture and told me that I was in God's hands now. And you know, it was very comforting to hear that said out loud, because I knew it was true. God was with me at that point. I'd never felt that before in my entire life, and I'm not so sure I would have accepted it even. My Ray and May ministered and mentored me in God's word. And it took a while, but again, because of my background, because of my history, because I was such a non-believer that I had no faith, it just was like baby steps. But they were so patient. They took me baby steps through the New Testament. I mean, I had no knowledge of the New Testament or Jesus at all, you know, especially going from being a Jew to an atheist. I mean, I'd never even looked at the New Testament. So I started reading. I started going to Bible study, small group. I went to service at Woodridge Community Church and listened to Pastor Frank and the other pastors there. And I came to the understanding that I didn't have to have all my doubts answered in order to commit my life to Christ. And so on September of 2008, I accepted the gift of salvation and invited Christ into my heart, into my life. I admitted I was a sinner and that Christ died to pay for my sins. It was a very uplifting and momentous moment in my life, September of 2008. Between 2008 in 2015, just a little while ago, I had a lot of other health issues. So in 2008, God blessed me with a new spiritual heart. And through all of my trials and tribulations health-wise between 2008 and 2015, I stayed in faith. And you know what? I don't think I would have made it without having the belief, the relationship with God that I had during that time. And guess what? In 2015, God blessed me again. This time he gave me a new heart. I had a heart transplant in 2015. And so my life is now totally dedicated to God, totally dedicated to Jesus Christ. Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. The message is heard through the word of Christ. And throughout all of this time now, and every day, I really believe that I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. That's Philippians 4:13. So if someone were to ask me, how do I know? I'm going to tell them. I'm Jan Santos, and I want you to know that I stand with Peter, and I know.
Hi, my name is Pastor Vince, and hi, and if you're new here, I'm one of the pastors here at Woodbridge Community Church, and like the Apostle Paul who lived 2,000 years ago, or Jan, whom you just heard, I also know that Jesus is real, because he revealed himself to me. You see, my professional life began when I was 20 years old, that's a long time ago. But by then, I was already done with my engineering degree. And at age 23, I was already a successful professional. I was successful professionally, but a mess personally. I was managing a manufacturing plant with over 500 people under me. But I had a problem with anger, alcohol, and I was a workaholic. And that combination eventually led me to being depressive and suicidal. One night when I was driving home drunk, I almost killed myself. So out of desperation, I prayed to God and said, God, I don't even know if you're real, but if you are, if you show me the right way, I will give my whole life to it. The following month, somebody invited me to attend this church that was close to my home. And as I listened, I felt that the pastor was speaking directly to me. And I said to myself, how did this guy know my life story? You know? So when he gave the invitation for people to accept Jesus into their lives, I came forward. And from that point on, I never looked back. The following month, I resigned from my job and enrolled in Asian Theological Seminary. And that's how I ended up being a pastor. God showed me the right way, and I gave my whole life to it. That was 33 years ago. If God hadn't revealed himself to me then, I would probably be living a very different life today. And be a very different person today. I'd probably be divorced, maybe 3 times. With all my kids messed up and blaming me for it. But as I look at my family today, my children, my grandchildren, I have one grandson and one on the way, and they're all serving the Lord, I can't help but be thankful that God did reveal himself to me and showed me the right way and changed my life. Thank you.
My name is Graham McGinnis, also one of the pastors here, and I want to share my testimony. I was brought up in a Christian and godly home, but at the age of 12, and I remember distinctly the date, 26th of May, 1956. The Lord graciously revealed himself to me by his mercy and grace and love and opened my eyes to the truth of the gospel, which I had heard from my family, but it was then at an evangelistic meeting that I saw the truth of the gospel, that Jesus Christ had died for my sin, that he rose again for my justification. And it was then that I invited the Lord Jesus, as he says, into your life, into your heart, and I became born again of the Spirit of God, and I knew that was a fact. That was true. My life was changed. In 1960, Billy Graham visited the city I lived in what was Rhodesia then, and I then recommitted my life to Christ and dedicated myself to him, and I knew then that one day I would be in full-time ministry. It was 10 years later that I really felt that call of God in my life, that pull which I couldn't avoid, which was irresistible, and I applied to go to Bible college. When I did that, I then met this lovely person who was going to be my bride and to share with me in the ministry of the gospel. We went down to the Bible Institute of South Africa in Cape Town, and we both studied there. At the end of the 2 years, we got married. I completed my course, and my wife and I have been in ministry sharing the gospel with others ever since then. I've seen the faithfulness of God. It's 61 years since I gave my life to him. I have failed him. I have faltered. I have sinned. But I've had to confess and go back and repent and know that he is always there with his arms outstretched to forgive me and to restore me. I've seen his faithfulness in protection. I was a chaplain in the Rhodesian military during what was called our Bush War, and I was blown up in a landmine explosion, and not very long after that, in December 1977, I was shot in an ambush. And I believe, as I look back, it was God's providence that made me move when I was on the army truck, move forward a bit, because the bullet got me here and not through my heart. God provided protection for me and enabled me to continue to serve him now for nearly 45 years. Yes, dear friends, I know. Because you see, Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit of God witnesses with our spirit that we're children of God. And I know that because I know, because I know, because I know. Yes, I met Jesus. I know Jesus. And by his grace, I endeavor to follow Jesus. And those of you who know me and ask me how am I doing, one of my favorite verses is from Philippians where Paul says he's pressing on. And that's my desire, to keep pressing on till the day that Jesus calls me. And my prayer is that I will be faithful to him till the end in sharing the gospel with others. And over many years, I have seen people come to know Jesus through me being able to share the gospel with them, coming to find salvation, forgiveness of sin, receiving the gift of eternal life, and living for the risen, living Lord Jesus. He's alive. He's alive. And so I stand with Peter and I say, I know he is the Son of the living God, and there's no one else to whom we can go because he has the words of eternal life. To God be the glory.
How do you know? How do you know? Peter says we believe. Pastor Graham, Pastor Vince, and myself, we believe the same things. Bono, I believe the exact, what Bono just said, I believe. We all believe the same. A Christian has a certain set of beliefs. What do you believe about Jesus? What do you believe about Jesus? Was he the Son of God? Is he just a great philosopher, a great teacher, a religious zealot? I like what Bono said. He goes, you can't take that because he claimed to be God. So he was either who he says he is or he's nuts, right? And he says, a nutter. And he says, I can't believe that a nutter, all the millions of people that's been touched by the name of Jesus over the last 2 millennia could be touched by a nutter. Who could change a man like Pastor Vince? How could a nutter 2,000 years ago have touched Pastor Vince the way he is? What do you believe about Jesus? That's your homework assignment this week. On your sheet of paper, we're going to ask you at the end of this series to do two things. On the paper there, we're going to ask you, what do you believe about Jesus? I'd like for you to think this through. At your spiritual journey, where you are today, and we're so grateful that all of you are on your journey, and we're so glad that you're with us today. Hey, wherever you are, we're just glad you're here. The existence, the purpose, the reason of this church is to help people to meet Jesus, to know Jesus, and to follow Jesus. And we're here every week, every day, to help you on your journey of trying to answer the question, who do you think Jesus is? And so we're going to ask you this week to write down, what do you believe? What do you believe about Jesus? There's another part that says, how do you know? If you're here today and you'd stand with the Apostle Peter, if you're here today and you would stand with all the apostles, if you would stand with the church and say, what Peter just said, I'm with him. If that's you, we'd love to know, how do you know? See, Jan knows differently than I know. Azar, if you're watching from Germany, I'm going to talk about you. Azar came to this church. She had a vision from Jesus. She had a vision from Jesus, and so she came to this church. And we began explaining to her who Jesus is. And she was stunned to hear. She thought all Christians get visions of Jesus. I've never had a vision of Jesus. But I've met Jesus in a personal way. I've never had a vision of Jesus. She was so stunned as a Muslim woman, she thought all Christians get visions of Jesus. Nope. And I told her, I go, Azar, God is after you. Remember? He has revealed himself to you in his son Jesus because he's speaking into your life. And within a year, she became a believer in Jesus. That's her. If you were to ask her what she believes about Jesus, she'd tell you. If you were to ask her, how do you know? She'd say, well, I've had a vision. That's her story. So if you're Warner Carr, stand up. You would ask this guy, what do you believe? He'll tell you what he believes. We went to Israel together this last year. We walked in the land of Jesus. We believe the same things. If you were to ask him, how do you know? He would tell you differently than I've experienced Jesus. For God's done a miracle in his family. You guys all know the story, right? We were just over at his house the other day. Aiden and Austin, two little miracles running around. That's a great story. How do you know? How do you know? What do you believe about Jesus? How do you know what you believe about Jesus is true? What have you experienced with Jesus? What's your story? I'd love for you to write this down and talk about this with your family at the dinner table. I'd love for you to write down, what do you believe about Jesus at this part of your journey? And write down, how do you know what you believe is true? How do you know? And write it down. And share it within your growth group this week. If you guys are in growth groups, this is what's the brilliance of growth groups. 16 growth groups at the church right now. People coming from this sermon, this message, meeting in groups and discussing this in groups. If you are not in a growth group, there's a green card. You just fill it out and give it to us right out there at the well, and we'll get you in a growth group this week. We'd love for you to come and hear what people believe about Jesus. And how do you know? You know, Jesus said this, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Jesus says, seek, ask, knock, and the door will be opened unto you. Jesus said this. Jesus' brother, half-brother Peter, James, in the book of James says, draw near to God, and God will what? Does anyone know? Draw near to you. If you're sitting here, you know what? Your experiences with Jesus are not over if you draw near to him. If you pursue him, if you seek him, he will be found by you. The summer before I read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, one summer from June through August, skeptically trying to figure out Jesus. And God blessed that. For all of you that are here on your journey, I so encourage you, if you seek, if you ask, if you knock, God will reveal himself to you. He's amazing. And you know what? When God does, it's uniquely yours. I'm just curious. Peter, are you going to leave me? Are you guys going to leave me? Peter says, only you have words of eternal life. Where would we go? He says, we believe, we know that you're the Holy One of God. If you believe and you know, would you stand? It's totally cool. If you're on your journey, don't feel pill pressure. I'm just curious. If that's you, if you believe and you know, you stand with Peter in 2,000 years of the church. Father, we praise you, God, for our spiritual journeys. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have revealed yourself to us, for the way that you have shown yourself to us. You are living and active and moving. You are intimately acquainted with all of our ways. You are an ever-present help. Your eyes are always upon us, Lord. God, we are on this journey of trying to figure out who you are and who we are. We thank you, Lord. I just consecrate this series to you of How Do You Know? We lift before you, God, the intellectual teachings in this series and the experiential teachings in this series. We thank you, Lord, that our faith is a cognitive faith and our faith is a spiritual faith. It's a supernatural faith that penetrates our lives today. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, Lord, that you would continue to draw them into the journey that they are on, of meeting you, of knowing you, and of following you with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. Following you as being the most important person and being in their life. You are the Savior, the Son of the living God, who has died on a cross for our sins, who has arisen from the dead, who has ascended into heaven, and who is coming again. You have gone to prepare a place for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. We thank you in your sovereignty and your mighty intellect. You know what you're doing, and you are revealing yourself to all of us, God. May we never grow tired or bored. May we never be lazy. May we pursue and kneel and proclaim the Lord God Almighty. Help us, Jesus. I pray you fill my brothers and sisters with your Holy Spirit today. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You know, you all may be seated. As we end here, we're about to sing a really great song. There's a song that came out of Australia. It's anointed. I've been so mesmerized by this song. It's called Behold. And behold, when you read in the Bible, behold, it's like God saying, take notice, stand up, watch this, look, behold. And when you listen to this song. This song is a journey in this song through the Trinity, speaking of God the Father, of God the Son, of God the Holy Spirit, and speaking about theologically of this is what we believe. What do you believe about God? Listen to this song. But as the song moves, it moves away just from a theological belief into a personal for us in this room. So I encourage you to love this song and embrace this song. Think about this song. We at Woodbridge practice James chapter 5. The Bible says that if you need prayer to come to the leaders of the church, if you're here today and you need a touch from God, if you're here today and you're on your spiritual journey, if you're here today and you want to accept Jesus, if you're here today and you've got personal issues you want to bring before the Lord or physical issues, if you're here today and you just need someone to pray with, we encourage you during these next few songs that we're about to sing to come up to the leaders of the church. And we will pray with you. Do you know how I know? I see God answer prayer every week. I'm going to ask for Pastor Vince and Beth and Casey Chow to be up in the balcony. And I'm going to ask for my wife, Cindy, to stand with me. I'm going to ask for Pastor Graham and BJ to come up here, and my brother Mike. And if you're here today and you need prayer, you come forward. By the way, church, as people come up asking in prayer during the song, as you're singing, pray for those up here. Pray that God would manifest himself. God would reveal himself. Do you know 100% of the prayers that you don't pray won't get answered? Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. So if you seek the Lord today, you come up here during these next songs of praise. And I want you to listen to this song. Behold, the love of the Father. Father, we love you. We praise you. We are here. You are more than just an idea. Jesus, you are more than just a belief. You are living and you are real. You're the resurrection and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but through you. Spirit of Christ, you dwell in this place and you are with us today. God, there are people here who need a touch of your hand. There are people here today, God, that are just in bondage. There are people here today that need their bodies healed. There are people here today that needs to be set free. Spirit of God, move in this place. May the power of Christ fall upon this place. Manifest yourself, we ask. Show yourself, Lord God. Through dreams and visions and signs and wonders and miracles and healings. Come, Lord Jesus. Can you all say that? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, be with us, Lord. Come, be with us.